Today, I am interviewing John Craig, volunteer at the History Room at the Hudson Area Library. What would you like to talk about today?
Well, you had wanted to talk a little about the Hudson Movie Theaters, and that's a story I've long waited to tell, and it's a great pleasure to be able to start with you this morning.
Okay, well, let's roll.
Well, like many good stories, it all started with a baseball game here on the edge of the season opener. Baseball game played by Hudson's only professional baseball team, the Hudson Marines. Charter member of the Hudson River League in 1903, and one of the last clubs still playing when the league folded mid-season 1907. The league was plagued by bad weather, and all the teams lost money up and down the river. And the subscribers that supported the Hudson team to recoup their losses took a lease on the upstairs auditorium above Old City Hall, the Opera House, now Hudson Hall, which the Elks had just vacated in mid-1907. But the Elks were founded in 1902 and took a lease on the upstairs auditorium and put on theatricals and the precursor of moving pictures. The subscribers of the baseball team, notably Frank Parker, son of Byron Parker, the famous plumber, James Day Fox, who owned a couple of liquor stores on Warren Street, Charles Traver, son and partner with his father William in the Traver Mill, and E. Washburn Scoville joined them soon thereafter, and they were the main forces that formed the Hudson Theater Company to operate the auditorium upstairs beginning in mid-1907, putting on theatricals and the evolution of what became officially the first motion picture to be shown in Columbia County, which was in Chatham's Katy Hall in November of 1907. Something like The Passion of Christ, which was a huge movie nationally. And I can't disprove that the first motion picture wasn't shown upstairs by the Hudson Theater Company. It remains credited to Katy Hall. It's very hard. I find it very difficult to determine what actually was the first motion picture, rather than a series of stills. But I go with the credit to the Passion. I think it's called The Passion of Christ, in November of 1907. And as I say, the theater company upstairs in the City Hall was the baseball guys were showing films and theatricals. And it was so successful in operation that they reorganized themselves as the Hudson Improvement Company, and they bought a property on Warren Street and built the greatest theater of them all that opened in 1912, the Playhouse. Before I go to the Playhouse, though, meanwhile, in 1909, the first commercial theater opened almost across the street from the Opera House at 332 Warren. And that opened as the New Warren Theater in May of 1909. And then in 1912, the Playhouse opened. It sat 1,500 people. It cost $75,000 to build. It had two balconies, an orchestra, major vaudeville acts, and mixed with movies. Something else about them opening the Playhouse. Well, and later that same year, the Hudson's third theater opened at 510 Warren, the Star Theater, which was the longest, turned out to be the longest running movie house in Hudson. That opened later in 1912 in the Elkenberg building at source opened in 1921, the Park Theater, which has just been restored miraculously by young Shannon McGee. And we're coming up on the 100th anniversary of the opening of that theater, Hudson's Fourth, on May 9th, 1921 it opened. And Hudson then had four movie theaters on Warren Street until 1934. They were locally operated by locals at that point into the mid-20s. There were some outside regional operators who came in and out of, particularly running the Park and the Star. The Ball Players Group operated and owned the Playhouse and had acquired the Warren Theater. The Warren Theater that opened in 1909 at 332 Warren Street closed down in 1916, sat empty for a couple of years. And then the Ball Players who owned the Playhouse bought the Rialto and reopened, bought the Warren and reopened it as the Rialto later in 1919. So there you have the Playhouse and the Rialto and the Star of the Park for the next 14 years. And their brother-in-law, Henry Frieder, and who called themselves the Henwillens, which is the first few letters of their three first names. I'll refer to them as the Henwillens. So they took over the Playhouse and the Rialto and slowly but surely ended up taking over all four theaters as the operators, not the owners, but the operators. So the Henwillens, by 1928, had taken over operation of the Park Theater, which left the Star, then being operated by the Hochstein brothers, who finally gave up, and Henwillens took operational control of the Star by 1934, and were then running all four shows in town. The Depression was wearing on, and business was suffering, and the Henwillens closed the Rialto in 1934, and then closed the Park in 1936. Leaving the Star and the Playhouse. But in the next instant, the economy started finally recovering, showing signs of recovery from the Depression in 1936, 37. And there was suddenly a rush of outside operators looking to come and build theaters in Hudson. And the first of those three was Walter Reed, the famous movie theater operator in the New York City area, including Manhattan. Initially, Reed came up in early 37 and he bought the old Andrews Place on Upper Warren Street, which is now the Social Security office building. He promptly cleared the lot and announced that he would be building a big movie theater with an adjoining dance hall where big bands like Louis Armstrong and Duke Ellington would be playing. That never happened. It sat empty. The lot sat empty for the next 15 years. But he quickly, as much as one can tell, he seemed to be a rather aggressive and perhaps unpleasant man, Mr. Reed. And he muscled his way into the Henwillens operation of the remaining two theaters and took over the idea of building the community theater at 7th and Columbia, which opened in December of 1937, and that sat about 1,409 people. So we were up to three. Meanwhile, the Cocolas Company down in New York bought the property that is now the Riverledge Motel. It was the Jacoby Place. Cocolas bought that property and cleared it and started building what would become the Warren Theater. And before that was completed, they sold it to Walter Reed. So Reed and the Henwillens had the new community, the new Warren, and the Star, and the Playhouse. But once the community opened in December of 37, the Playhouse was losing money. And when I spoke with Henry Grossman's daughter, who was then about 90, Hudson High School class of 37, she was involved in the business with her father, and she asked him how he could possibly deal with this muscling in of their business by Walter Reed. And Henry Grossman was a patient man who told his daughter, "We will wait and wait for him, for Walter Reed to hang himself." She never suggested what they got him on, but by 1941, the Walter Reed and his organization gave up operations of the community and the Warren Theater and left town and didn't return until 1956 when the Hen Willins retired to Florida. When I spoke with Henry Grossman's son, who was also around 90 years old, and asked him about Walter Reed, he only said, after a long pause, about Walter Reed, "He was an animal." Curiously, I find there's virtually no, I can find no comments anywhere about Walter Reed's behavior, his personality, what it was like to deal with him. I find absolutely nothing about him, which seems odd. The only odder thing about the Hudson Movie Theater history is that no one has ever come forth with a photograph of the Park Theater. There are pictures of all the others, but the Park Theater, as in its operating days, there's got to be a photo out there, but nobody has turned one up yet. But perhaps the reopening of the restored Park Theater building might prompt somebody to think, "Oh, this is the Park Theater, yes." And it may well soon or then later show up. So, like I say, the Playhouse suddenly was a real albatross on operations of the joint Hen Willins and Walter Reed operations there in 1938. And on the night of February 25th in 1938, barely 2 months after the community theater had opened, the Playhouse Theater was destroyed in a fire. The manager at the time was a fellow named Charlie Litt, and it was said for some time after that fire that Charlie Litt the Playhouse. It was undoubtedly an arson to relieve the Walter Reed of the costs of operating that. Like many arsons, it was never proven to be so, but seems pretty likely. The Playhouse was a spectacular theater from 1912 to 1938. Made a big vaudeville acts, big show, orchestra. They used, back in the 20s, they'd be running midnight show specials for the second shift workers at the mills. It was like a 2.5 hour show with vaudeville acts and the movies and the orchestra and it was, as well as theatricals on their way from Broadway to Albany, going on the road. So the Rialto, which closed in 1936, became the home of the VFW, and it was such in 1965 when that building and the adjoining four all went up in a fiery Good Friday fire in 1965. We're back to 1940, and we got the community, the Playhouse is burned down, the Star, the community, the Star, and the Warren. And then a third outside operator, a fellow named Harry Lamont, who was a regional theater operator out of Albany, but who had started out as a 16-year-old Chatham High School student assisting the film operator at the Chatham's Katy Hall, one of the early movie theaters in Chatham. So he came into town in 1940, and he created the Strand Theater in the first floor of what was called the Rosenberg Building, where it now is the, you might call it a little park there at the southwest corner of Fifth Street and Warren, where E. O. Hudson is in the building that's been adapted from, I think it was Pride Cleaners that opened there after the Charlie's Corner fire, which took out Charlie's Corner and the adjoining building, Rosenberg Building, where the Strand operated. The Strand was the shortest running show in Hudson history. Harry Lamont, an independent operator, was up against Dan Willens and Walter Reed, who had three theaters going that held about 2,200 people. And Harry Lamont in his little 350-seat Strand Theater remarkably provoked a movie war where prizes and gifts were starting to be offered to patrons at the theaters. And again, it also marked the return of four theaters in Hudson from 1940 till the Strand finally closed in 1943, provoked particularly a remarkable Saturday kitty show extravaganzas with prizes and free comics and free ice creams. And all the theaters were vying for the kitty traffic on Saturdays. So there we go. Strand closes, and we have the community spectacular theater. Union worker ushers and handsome uniforms and beautiful interiors. It was a great theater by all accounts. The Warren finally closes down in 1955. The Star had closed in 1953. And the Star in its last years was really only running two or three days a week on the weekends, and was had come to be known as the Ranch House to kids because it was basically running Saturday serials with cowboy shoot 'em ups. But it finally closed in 53. The Warren closed it by 55 and was sold to Michael Yesko, and 4 years later was adapted to the Royalton Motel, which later became the Warren Inn, and now is the Riverledge, beautifully refitted for that. And with that, after 1955, only the community was left. The community ran until 1970. And like I say, the Walter Reed Organization regained control in 1956 of and owned the Warren and the community, although the Warren had just shut it down, and continued at the community until it closed. I think it's December of 1970, whereupon it was leased for a year by a New York State regional operator, and I always forget the name, but their business model seemed basically to be showing films like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs in the afternoon, and The Devil and Miss Jones in the evenings, which I didn't find that it happened in Hudson, but in other towns where they were running such programming, they were often getting arrested for X-rated movies were, I guess, weren't possible. So their programming idea didn't really work out too long, much longer. And with that, a year after taking it over, they lost that. It was bought by some locals who cleared out the interior and made themselves a tennis court, hence the community tennis sign on the overhead. I've heard the community referred to as a 19th century community tennis court, which is an interesting classic case of close but inaccurate. It is the community theater. The Reed Organization had an architect who did the designs for a series of theaters that Reed developed called community theaters with that inimitable architecture that it is. And so the five of the eight venues in Hudson Hesby, there are five still standing. The park, now beautifully restored, the community waiting for its future, and the Star at 510 Warren, and the City Hall, of course, where the first movie was shown in 1907. So there are eight theaters in Hudson's history. And of course, I haven't mentioned TSL. Sorry that I never include this in the history, because they do show movies in particular. First day release documentaries. They do a great job over there, and I guess they've been doing that for 25 or 30 years. There were four other outside on Route 9 that followed in the wake of the Warren Street and the community. The Henwillens bought 10 acres out on the way to Bell's Pond, across from the Sunset Drive-In, across from the Sunset Motel. They built created the Sunset Drive-In there in 1948, which ran until 1992, when a very high wind storm came through and blew down the screen, and that did in the Sunset Drive-In. And there were two fellows from over in Greene County who created first the Studio Theater out Fairview Avenue, near the Walmart World. With the building's still there. It became the new home of the combined Mount Carmel and one of the two other Hudson Catholic churches that were closed down by the diocese. And then the Fairview Plaza in 1972 opened in the first plaza. And of course, in 1999, the Metroplex, as I call it, out there at the third plaza opened, which is still there. And I like to cite the Mitchison family as the Barrymore family of Hudson movie history, because Bruce's father, Bruce, ran the Fairview from 1972, basically, until it closed 3-4 years ago, longer than any other movie theater operator in Hudson history. And his father was a card-carrying member of the Film Projectionist Union in various theaters around Hudson. And Bruce's grandmother was working in the box office the night the theater burned down in 1938. It's Bruce's cousin. So one dreams that someday they may be showing films on Saturday nights at the restored Park Theater. Remains to be seen.
John, this is a great, I think that's a great ending now, John. Of what a great,
it's beautiful.
It is. Now, I just want to thank you, John Craig, for the interview today about the movie theaters that have been in Hudson.